Andy, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Jason. How about you?
I kind of feel like I was almost going to Phil Mickelson there for a second. It was like, you know, they just run on about all the accomplishments of Tiger Woods when we're introducing you and how many shows you have.
Well, my main job now is with the Blues broadcast, actually, on Fox Sports Midwest, so that's where you can see me most nights. I still do some radio work on the Big 550 KTRS here in town and on CBS Sports Radio as well. So we try to bounce around, Jason.
Yes, hey, that's good, man. I love it. I do the same thing. Now, the St. Louis Blues, I was writing up my write-up today on Oilers Nation about the Oilers and the Blues, and I started breaking down the numbers, and I'm looking at the Blues, and I'm like, yeah, you know, they're pretty deep. And then I started digging a little bit deeper, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, their top line is on fire right now with Backes, Oshie, and Steen. They've got 14, 14, and 15 points, respectively, in their last 12 games. And then their second line includes Vladimir Tarasenko, who's top 10 in points, top 5 in goals, and Jaden Schwartz, who's basically a point-a-game player. Like, the Blues finally, Andy, I think, have the offense to match the Chicago Blackhawks in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention Paul Stastny, who's got like 4 multi-point games in his last 6 or 7. He's on a 5-game point scoring streak, maybe even 6. I think he's got 6 assists in his last 6 games, something like that, something crazy. So, or at least a 6-game assist streak. Whatever it is, you're right, they are deep, and they wanted to get deeper this past offseason. I'm glad you mentioned Jaden Schwartz. You know, it's funny, Tarasenko and Jori Lehterä, who came over from the KHL, of course, he's from Finland, but he played his last couple of seasons over in Russia. You know, they were the line that were carrying the Blues offensively early on this season. And Backes and Steen and Berglund and Oshie and Stastny, all these guys got off to really, really slow starts offensively. Well, we all knew that the Blues were at their best, or going to be at their best, when you get the Oshies and the Steens and the Backeses as their best player. And that's where we you know, sit right now in terms of, you know, and truly analyzing the St. Louis Blues. These guys are red hot, like you mentioned. All 3 of them are going at the same time. It seems like every shift they're on the ice, they're playing in the offensive end. We focus so much about their ability defensively, but it's what they're doing in the offensive end of the ice right now that's really impressive. The Blues have the number 1 power play unit in the National Hockey League right now. They're really doing a nice job as of late killing penalties, which has been an area this season that's been a little bit inconsistent. And you mentioned goaltending. That is going to be a little bit of a question mark for, I think, a lot of people across the board in the National Hockey League. Is the Blues goaltending good enough? Martin Brodeur is still here sitting in the wings. He's the number 3 goaltender. Jake Allen's going to start tonight. But let me just say this, Jason, real quick. I've seen in the last week, we've seen Antti Niemi. He's won a Stanley Cup. I saw Cam Ward. He's won a Stanley Cup. And again, Cam Ward's a good goaltender, don't get me wrong. Niemi is, too. I've seen Corey Crawford win a Stanley Cup. I mean, these guys, in my opinion, I wouldn't consider them top 10 goaltenders in the NHL. I'm not so sure you need that if you have the necessary parts around the goaltending, and the Blues, I think, internally believe they do. But still, with that being said, I'm not exactly 100% confident this is the team they're going to go into the playoffs with. Lots to be done between now and the trade deadline.
Is there – now, we won't really know about – and I agree with you that you don't necessarily need a top-end goaltender when your defense is as deep as the Blues and their offense is as good. You mentioned the trade deadline. So what do you think they will try to add between now and what is the deadline? March 2nd this year, I think it is?
Yeah. Well, I think they're happy with their offense. Okay. We just rattled off a bunch of names. I think they're okay there. And I think they like their defense. I'm not so sure they love their defense, and that's the big question mark.
Okay.
Do they feel like they need to add – some weight on the back end, some grit on the back end, you know, somebody who can really be hard to play against over the course of a 7-game series, night in and night out, that makes life miserable for the opposition. You know, they're not really built that way on the back end right now. You know, they have Barrett Jackman, obviously, who can be an in-your-face type player, but for the most part, you know what, they've got smart sticks, they're smart positionally, and they move the puck up ice and they move it quickly. They can, you know, all move the puck. They can all, you know, obviously make that first pass. But in terms of really making you pay the price, you know, Roman Polak was kind of a player like that. He's now in Toronto, you know. But again, the Blues lost in the first round of the playoffs last year, even though the Blues, you know, played some pretty good hockey, to be honest with you, against the Chicago Blackhawks. They moved Polak. So, again, if there's one area that I could see them, you know, adding before we get to the trade deadline, you know, it could be a defenseman, but again, we don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know, last year we knew the Blues wanted a goaltender. They went out and got that player in Ryan Miller. I get the impression they'd like to add a D-man.
Any names jump out to you right now?
I think it's still too premature, to be honest with you, in terms of what names could surface in terms of who might be available. But we're getting closer to that. You know, I actually had a conversation with somebody with the Blues about this within the last 24 hours. But I think we're still a little bit of ways in terms of, you know, who the Blues may identify. I think internally, I'm sure they have identified some players that they'd love to get their hands on and that they would love to bring over here to St. Louis. But probably too early to speculate.
Andy Strickland joins us from St. Louis. Oilers taking on the Blues tonight. I read a story Jeremy Rutherford was telling us. Tarasenko and Backes went at it in practice.
Well, that was a while ago, to be honest with you. I mean, this is early in the season, and they were doing a competitive one-on-one drill. You know, Ken Hitchcock really liked that. And, you know, what we saw this recently with another team. Was it Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Was it? Yeah, I mean, so Malkin may have been in the middle of it. I mean, Adams maybe, and I'm trying to go off memory here in terms of who was involved there in Pittsburgh, but
Adams and Malkin.
Yeah, so I mean, so I'm I was there for this practice, and I kind of saw it getting a little heated during this one-on-one drill, and it seemed like every time Backes and Tarasenko rolled through the lines, they were just kind of matching up against one another. Backes had just taken a significant cut to the lip area, and I think it got reopened up, and he got a little frustrated, and the team wasn't playing good. So he's the captain, and obviously, you know, they had some words, had to be separated a little bit. This is not the first time we've ever seen something like this. Certainly yeah. isn't the last time. And I think most people who have been around the game realize these type of things not only can happen, but they do happen. They happen pretty often, to be honest with you. And I think, again, most people internally, you know, with the Blues, turned the page. It was a non-issue. They did a really, really good job of squashing this immediately. In fact, David Backes never spoke publicly about it, not once. And, again, like I said, it's been a non-issue.
And I don't think it's a big – I actually think it's a good thing. It shows the intensity of guys. And, you know, David Backes is a guy who tonight I fully expect he loves to get in the face of the Edmonton Oilers and try to intimidate, right? He plays the bully type a lot on the ice, and I mean that in a complimentary fashion. And it seems when he's more of an a-hole on the ice, do the rest of the team follow?
Oh, absolutely. But it's not just in terms of, you know, finishing checks and being in the opponent's face. I think it's about how they play. I think the rest of the team follows in terms of how they play. Their attention to detail, their willingness to play that 200-foot game, to work down low in the defensive end. You know, that's what I mean. When they're at their best, it goes a long way with the rest of the group. And I think Ken Hitchcock, you know, this is great for him now, having Steen and Backes and Oshie be the best players and be the best line, because all of a sudden it's less work for him to do to get other players to buy in. Because of those guys, you know, the leadership factor they have inside the dressing room, and you know, just their ability to lead by example on the ice, it gets other players' attention really, really quick. But there's no doubt David Backes is a handful to deal with during the course of the game. I mean, he plays hard. I think some people criticize him league wide maybe because he doesn't drop the gloves as much as maybe some feel that he should. I'm not, you know, listen, I don't think the Blues want him fighting all the time, to be honest with you. They want him on the ice. They don't want him subjecting himself to a potential injury. And they want him playing hard and finishing checks, and that's what he does best.
He, Steen, and Oshie have been on fire for the last 12 games. You know, and prior to that, Backes was really struggling to start the season. What kick-started that line?
Well, I think the power play, first off. I think Backes offensively, I mean, first off, he had a four-goal game, you know, about a week ago against Arizona. You know, T.J. Oshie has had a hat trick. The Blues lead the NHL in hat tricks, by the way. And Oshie was the first star on the NHL a few weeks ago as well. So, I mean, they've kind of rotated and taken their turns. You know, Backes has 8 power play goals on the season, which I think is third in the National Hockey League. He's tied for third in the NHL. You know, like I mentioned, the Blues had the top power play. But these guys, you know, were real successful playing together last season. And they tried to split them up a little bit. Entering this season, they experimented a little bit with having Backes play on the wing, you know, having, you know, Alex Steen spend some time with Laterra and Tarasenko. But I think everybody realizes that when these three are together, they're at their best. And if you're Ken Hitchcock and the way he likes to coach and the way he wants his team to play, I mean, there's no better group to put together than these three. So, you know, I think once you saw these three get together, and for about the last dozen games or so, they've been together consistently each and every night. And I think once you saw these three get together over the course of the last 5-6 games, really since Christmas, if you go back and look at their game logs since December 27th, right after Christmas, all three of these guys have been plus players, and they're getting contributions, both goals and assists. The balance has been there, and it's been no coincidence that while they've been red hot and contributing offensively, the team is finding ways to win.
Andy Strickland joins us. Andy, the second line, if you want to call it that, Laterra with Tarasenko and Schwartz, not a lot of experience on that line. Is that a concern, do you think, come playoff time?
Absolutely not. These guys are all, you know, they've been around the game for a long time, obviously. But you think about Laterra, he's played pro hockey over in the KHL. Now it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where his game is at once we get deep into January, February, March. You know, does he wear down? Of course, the NHL season is longer than what you find in the KHL. But you think about Jaden Schwartz, just his style of play, I don't see him getting tired. He gets better as the season progresses, at least he did last season, as long as these guys can stay healthy. And same with Vladimir Tarasenko. I mean, we call him the second line, but we all know when the Blues need offense, this is the, you know, the line they turn to for a goal. You know, deep into a game when they need a goal, these are the guys they call on. And, you know, Tarasenko is a guy who can take over a game on his own. He's probably the one guy on this roster that has the ability to do that. If you watch the game against Carolina the previous game, there was an 8-9 minute stretch in the third period where he just completely took over. And he scored a goal, scored a tying goal, just your typical Tarasenko goal. I mean, he's a bull in the china shop, wins the battle along the wall, and just beats Tim Gleason to the net and was able to get the rebound, his own rebound, and put it past Cam Ward. I mean, this guy is so much fun to watch because he can score in so many different ways. I mean, he can beat you one-on-one, like I mentioned. He's got arguably the best shot in the National Hockey League, consistently scores from distance, can beat you going to your left, can beat you going to your right. You know, he can beat NHL defensemen one-on-one consistently, or he can score from the outside, like I said. Plus, he's got the one-timer, too. The puck comes off his stick so fast, so quick. Truly, it's unlike anything we've ever seen. And I watched practice this morning with Brett Hull, and all he does is comment on how good this guy is in terms of how well he shoots the puck. So that's some pretty good company right there. But I just think, you know, in terms of experience, they got some experience in the playoffs now last year. Last couple of years, really, Tarasenko was pretty good last year against Chicago coming back from injury. He'll be much better this go-around, but having that experience the last couple of years is going to go a long way.
Right now, Andy, you look at the Central and the way it stacks up. Is Chicago still the team that they want to avoid?
I think so. Well, I mean, in terms of avoid, I don't like to use the word avoid because you have no choice, right? I mean, Nashville is the real deal, by the way. I'm not so sure how deep they'll go in the playoffs and all that, but the idea that they're going to just slip and fall back here, I just don't see it happening. And maybe they're this year's version of Colorado, what they were last year, but whenever you have Pekka Rene, you know, they're going to be in it each and every night. Obviously, they're feeding off of, you know, some of their new players, and Philip Forsberg, who is unbelievable, to go along with Ribeiro and James Neal and these guys, and then with the players they have in the back end. Roman Josi, we all know how underrated he is, to go along with Shea Weber and some of the other guys they have there. So, but Chicago has the winning pedigree, right? I mean, they've got experience going deep into the playoffs, year in and year out. They've won 2 Stanley Cups. The core group is still there, who has won. The coaching staff is there, who has won. So if you're going to ask me, are they the team to beat in the Central Division, I'd have to say yes. Are they the team the Blues want to avoid? I'm not so sure I'd go there, because you look at the teams that have had, that have given the Blues trouble over recent years, and mostly it's been the California teams. You look at Anaheim, you look at Los Angeles. You know, the Blues have handled San Jose this season, but in the past, that hasn't necessarily been the case, especially in San Jose. But then Chicago, you know, Chicago's the one team that doesn't scare St. Louis because it's such a strong rivalry. They see each other so often during the course of the regular season. And the Blues have had a lot of regular season success over the years against Chicago. I don't think they're afraid of the Blackhawks. Not to say they are scared of the Western, you know, the West Coast teams, but you know, Chicago is a team that I think they would, listen, if that was the matchup, they would embrace it, probably more so than they did last year.
Andy, it's going to be an interesting one. Nashville, Chicago, and St. Louis, all near the top, of course, of the Central and the Western Division. And the Winnipeg Jets, well, they're obviously comfortable in fourth, but the Jets not a pushover either. So that division, the Central, making a run for it, that you could argue the Central just as tough as the Pacific Division. If not, maybe just a little bit tougher. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, Andy.
Anytime. Winnipeg, by the way, they play nasty, man. They look to hurt you when they play you. But I was talking to Ken Hitchcock about this yesterday. It's going to be interesting. Will they fall off? That's going to be an interesting team to watch moving forward. But I see when the playoffs start, I don't see how the top three in the Central Division change from where they are now.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it, Ben, as always.